I did.
Help on anything that needs to be done with some committee.
tonight, or... Oh yeah, just in case anybody didn't go to all the stations for getting signed up or to register. One, you have to have a room key to get in the room, while it's a little locked in. So I assume everybody's gotten a key, or if they haven't, they'll get to stay away after the meeting. There are, these books are on the floor here, if you haven't got one yet, be sure to take your pick, it's there. It's got the schedule in it, it's got the blank page, you get, get notes written by other members here, or you can do coloring in it, stickers, whatever you want to do. There's also name tags, and there's other things out there in terms of being creative, there's tattoos, that I hope aren't permanent. Okay, reading, and variety of creative activities. Marna's our creative director this weekend, so if you have any questions, you'll talk to her. And we're really grateful that we have somebody with creative energy to help us with the company. That's all I have going on for me. We're really being spontaneous and flexible and creative this weekend. So much so that I'm not sure I'm sure. I do know what the focus of the meeting is, and we're going to be having a panel of three people sharing, talking about the new book as well as the history of WA, and that's me, Marna, Sandy, and Don. Marna, Donna, and Annie. And we're going to have some celebration tonight. But before we get into that, I think I'll read a couple of things here, and we'll have Sandy Burrow and we'll join. Welcome to this wonderful meeting of Workaholics Anonymous. My name is Dan, I'm a workaholic, and all those who wish to please join me in the morning silence, to do as you wish, followed by the serenity prayer. God,
I bring your serenity, the breath of the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Workaholics Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other to then resolve their common problems and help others recover from workaholism. Those who require membership with a desire to stop working compulsively and their dues or fees for a WA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. WA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any problems. Our primary purpose is to stop working compulsively and carry the message of recovery to workaholics who still suffer. Now is the time to introduce ourselves our first name only. Please notice you're all here for the first time, man. But let's just go around the room and say our name and what town and state you're from. My name is Dan, I'm a workaholic, and I'm from Gresham, Oregon.
Hi, Dan.
My name is Doug, I'm a workaholic, and I'm from Oregon.
Hey, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
I'm a workaholic, I'm from Ashville, California.
Hi, Tanya.
I'm
from workaholic, I'm from Colorado.
Hi.
Hi, Gordon.
Welcome.
athletic son was interested for something like that.
I welcome.
I'm sure you're a workaholic.
Hi, Drew.
I'm Sandy. I go to the Overmeeting, but I actually live in Fontaine, California.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Harry.
I'm Matthew. I'm from the Cambridge, Massachusetts meeting, and I bring to all of you your very warm greetings.
I'm Annie.
I'm Sandy, gratefully recovering alcoholic from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Sandy.
I'm Gilda. I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Gilda.
I'm a workaholic. My name's Marna. I'm from Portland.
Hi, Marna.
I'm Liz. I'm a workaholic from Laguna Beach, California.
Hi, Liz.
I'm Sandy. I'm from Portland, and I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
I'm Scott, workaholic from Portland.
Hi, Bob.
I'm Bob Rico from San Francisco.
Hi, Bob.
I think our plan is to pass a seventh tradition basket around it, and I don't know if people pull in a basket, we will tell you that later.
Yeah, we'll pass it.
All it's good now. Sure, it's paid for, but World Service can use a contribution. So. And we'll give you more opportunities throughout the week.
Okay, perfect.
Get all down the calendar.
And maybe we could say, Drew, do you want to say what the money that goes to World Service, what happens with it?
The money that goes to World Service is an education investment. It's a period of maintenance for those who still have.
Thank you.
How recovery happens. We can hold the workers that don't have no amount of willpower or self-determination. We have found that self-reliance kills. Self-reliance is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough.
first. My name's Mara, and I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Mara.
And I'm just going to give you a tour of what's in the book. Just so you know, all the different kinds of things that are in here. If that makes sense. The way the book is structured is there's a section that's about recovery, and it has a lot of the kind of core literature that you might have heard shared at meetings, if you have a meeting near you. Things like the characteristics and signposts and the steps and the promises. Some of the things are new, like the promises and how recovery happens, which we heard tonight. That was really good. Then the whole next section of the book is a whole bunch of different stories of different people's recovering history. And some people are work bulimics, some people are work anorexics, some people are procrastinators. There's all different kinds of stories in the book. And it's really, that part's quite awesome. There's a part that talks more about the problem of work addiction, and that includes a message from a doctor who's also a member, a part about work aversion and adrenalizing. Then there's the step study guide. And the way the step study guide is structured is that for each step, there's an overview about what that step means. There's a set of questions, and then there's other people's responses to the questions or their story around working that step. And the step study guide, one part especially to note is that it's structured so that in the first three steps, there's 30 questions. And so one way to work it is you work a step a day for 30 days, and you work a step once. But if that's too fast or too workaholic, then maybe a question a week. then there's a meeting guide, and it's a guide for kind of how to start a meeting, it's more about how the meeting guidelines, how experience, strength, and hope from other meetings, and also how people have done recovery without having meetings. They don't have meetings in their head. And then the last part is helpful literature, and that includes affirmations. A piece called Characteristics of Recovery, which some people use as an alternate kind of inspiring ending to their meeting. There's slogans. There's a bunch of kind of catchy, listy kinds of things. And the Gift of Rest, which is a really great piece. The abstinence, the contents of the abstinence brochure is in that part of the book. And a short history of Workaholics Anonymous. And one thing I thought I'd just read is one of the opening parts before the story is one of the kind of key pieces of literature is that we expanded the tools to include what we're calling principles, because some areas had different tools or tools and principles of different things. And one of the principles is literature. So let's read this. Literature is a source of information, insight, experience, strength, and hope. Reading on a daily basis impresses the truth on us and expands our horizons. This can be vital to our growth and reinforces our program of recovery. Program literature is an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problems, strength to deal with them, and the knowledge that there is a process of recovery for us. We also study the literature of Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs to strengthen our understanding of compulsive disease. We can identify with many of the situations described by substituting the words compulsive working for alcohol. Cool thing is now we actually have books that we can also read that is specific. And in our meeting in Portland last night, the topic was about literature in the book. And one of the things that someone said that one of the messages that really inspired me and struck me was how that sometimes a piece of literature can be like a higher power, something outside of myself that accompanies me when I'm confused or not connected to my clarity. And one thing I thought that would be cool to do after we kind of open up for sharing or whatever is if people want to offer kind of blessings or vision for what will happen with the book for the fellowship. And the one I would like to offer is just that, that over time, every person who is suffering from this disease, which is a progressive and fatal illness, get in contact with someone from the fellowship or know about the fellowship from this book and get relief. And I feel like having things and kind of all of this wisdom of so many, feels like hundreds of people bundled in one place, is going to go out and really help your entire power get more connected with the people who are suffering.
Thanks, Marta.
A lot of people sitting in this room contributing to the book in either advice, editing, article, story. It is amazing to me when I think about it. So when we first started, I think Candy handed me some stories that people had written. I didn't even know who they were. And then we started asking for stories, and people started sending them in little by little. And then all of a sudden, actually I think Walt sent us a bunch of literature that they had been using in their meeting in Florida that I had never seen before. And then there was, what we realized is there was literature scattered all over the country, and probably in Germany too, the other places that had the WA meetings. People were using all kinds of literature, who knows where it all came from, and who wrote it even. That was trying to figure out, do we have copyright, can we use this in the book or not? Figuring out who wrote what. And we got a lot of help. So we have people who are no longer necessarily even with us now on this earth who wrote things. And we have people who aren't in this room right now who wrote a lot of literature that's in the book. And people who wrote it all different ways, maybe just for their own meeting or maybe, you know, that we picked up and we started combing through it. So. And we had editors who helped us with the editing. And it's a very interesting process. And I think, I'll just say for myself, I'm not a writer. I'm not even an editor. I became a nurse on purpose so that I wouldn't have to write. So whenever I had to write anything, I had to really pray to ask my higher power to help me, because I knew that this was going to go out beyond me. People who are still suffering, and I suffer still myself from alcoholism. It's not like the whole thing is over with. So even coming together with the book was a kind of a suffering at times, because it was a lot of time, effort, and trying to figure out solutions to problems. So, you know, and then we put it out to the whole fellowship for feedback, and we got some people who were willing to come into our meeting and be critical and tell us what they didn't like, and so we rearranged things and listened to what they had to say and trying to figure out how to meet the needs. And I thought it was very interesting for your own understanding about it. Some of the feedback was, gee, and I really liked the feedback. We started out with a whole bunch of lists. And that's what we do as workaholics, make lists. We need stories. Because stories are really where you feel prisoners recover, where you feel the heart of the recovery, where you're touched often. And so we needed to move our stories instead of at the end of the book to the beginning of the book. Because that's when you begin to think that it's hope when you read somebody's story, or when you identify somebody made it, somebody's life changed because of working with the action come into meeting. So we made things, we rearranged the order. So we have prayed about this book, we have fussed about it. There's people who spent a small amount of time, and people who spent tons of time. And it's here. It's a miracle to me. It's truly a miracle. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And I just, there's so many people to thank. And even people who maybe didn't write, the support of somebody who wrote. All of that is just the energy that it took to make this book. And so,
I am so prepared. I did sit down and I kind of wrote down the years. I've gone to a lot of work
World Service conventions over the years, and I don't know exactly what you're hooked up, but we tried to come up with some, and I probably could use some help from you if you've been to some of these. But I guess it was in the early 90s that I went to the first one. It was in San Francisco in some hospital near Palo Alto, I think. Well, is Palo Alto even near San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, anyway, it was I'll just tell you a couple of interesting things for me. I don't know, just my memories. This has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, probably. But anyway, the way they set it up was to send out a flyer, and they said if you needed a place to stay, just sign up. So I sent in my money, and they said you'll meet somebody in the airport. He'll come and pick you up. And so I did, and the man had a blonde ponytail, and and I stayed with him, and he gave me a ride to the thing. It turned out he was the facilitator of World Service. He was a very nice young man, and so I went to the workshop, and at the end of it, couple of other things off and on, but one memory of it that comes back to me just in my life is a woman walked in the middle of a meeting, and she said that she couldn't figure out how she was going to do everything. This is the one thing that kind of clicked with me. I mean, I'm sure you go to a weekend and come back with more than this, but this is one thing that clicked with me. She couldn't figure out how she, and it really mattered to me because this is where I was at and I'm at often today. How could she do everything? Read all the little books in the morning and do all the stuff and get all, and make the phone calls and do all the tools and take care of the house and the kids and all this kind of stuff. How she's going to fit this all in, she couldn't do it. So anyway, I took that back, and also we had a business meeting. And many things were talked about how often they were going to have the weekends. And at that time, we were having them, I think, every 3 years. The next one I remember going to was in Montana. It was out in the middle of nowhere. I think I shared a cab or some car. I think somebody had a rental car. And we drove and drove and drove out in the middle of nowhere, this huge castle. I mean, it looked like a castle to me. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Out in the middle of nowhere, in the basement, there was a hot swimming pool with water that came up out of the ground, bromine or something, I don't know what. And then I was there early in the afternoon while we're doing spontaneous, fun things, right? This was fun for me. I brought noodles from sometime from Florida, those plastic, those rubber things in Florida. So I thought, well, you know, who knows, maybe they don't have noodles out there. So I had noodles packed in my suitcase, and I got there early on Friday, and I went out in the back, and they had a hot swimming pool out there, freezing cold, but the pool was hot. I got in there all by myself, swimming around the noodles, and the snow started coming down. So that's my memory of there. And somebody else ordered a drum. I remember that. We all played on a drum. And that's the weekend that one of our pieces of literature got conference approval, and I believe it was the one with the 12 steps. And we went over that and changed things and had big meetings about that. So we wanted the words changed. And then also, we went out at night and swam. I think I brought three noodles, and we were playing around. It was about 10 of us there. Played around in the pool, and we had to take a bath before we went out. And so when we went out, it was like, it was snowing in the afternoon, and it was really cold at night, so I put the towel, I don't remember, a towel or a robe or something, but it was wet because I was wet when I was showering. Went out and I laid it over the railing of the pool, and then we swam around in this hot water, screaming and hollering in the middle of the night, coyotes howling in the distance. There was a fence around it, so I thought, I'll get safe. But anyway, we got done playing around, I thought, now I've got to survive to get from this pool back into that building, which was a little bit of a waste. I picked up my towel off the thing. I was like frozen solid. running back in. And so that was Montana. What else? I know you're expecting to hear 12-step stories. The next one is Pennsylvania that I can remember, unless somebody knows better than me. And the lady in Pennsylvania contacted World Service. And I know. When I left Montana, the facilitator said to me, Donna, I think you could be a facilitator. I thought, what? We don't have anybody. I know you could do this. I know you could do this. I said, well. So So I was facilitator for 3 years, and I can tell you right now I did nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't even think I had contacted anyone in California. Everything was in California. It was in Florida. So I really didn't do anything. So I don't know what got done. But anyway, somebody from Pennsylvania contacted us and said that she had a meeting with her. And so her solution was to have the World Service Convention in the city in Pennsylvania. It might have been Philadelphia. I don't even remember. I think it might have been. So, sure enough, didn't we have a World Service Convention in Pennsylvania with one person who got the hotel, who did all of the service, got us there, and people from Washington, D.C. came, and we had a table full of people, probably 15. And then the world, our World Service group from WA had the facilitator then from Washington, D.C. And that went for 3 years, and I really didn't have too much to do with it. The next time I remember was in Minnesota. I didn't go. The next one, I believe, was in Vancouver. I didn't go. Did anybody want to report on any of these weekends? Because I didn't go. Nobody went. Okay, then it was 2 years in San Francisco, and a lot of us were there because this is where I know you guys from. And it was a beautiful place in San Francisco, and it was so wonderful, in fact, that I think maybe for the first time we voted to have it 2 years in a row instead of every three. Maybe that was the first time that happened, and then we're going, and here we are. That's my hit, that's all I know.
That's great.
Thanks,
Well, it's now an opportunity for some open sharing. Would anybody else like to share on either recollections of history of WA or their part in the book or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I have an impression, and I hope I'm not wrong, that somehow this wonderful book has been pulled together with...
Usually, predictably, usually, normally wind up with egos and prideful things and difficulties on that line of personalities and not being willing to work together. And I have the impression, I don't know, that this book came together in goodwill. I hope I'm right. And if anybody can put veracity to that, I'd love to hear it, but of course nobody has to. But in my happy thoughts, that's what it is. Thank you.
I am Peter, recovering workaholic. It's been about 13 years, almost 13 years.
In my life, which is to try to figure out what I can do with them.
Well, okay.
I've got this work addiction thing. I'm powerless over it. Well, I'll write a book. I'll write the book. I'll the definitive work on workaholism. My grand dream of writing the book. Well, I say there's a miracle that's happened because I didn't lift a pen. I actually started typing my story into the computer when the solicitation went out, and I got gummed up. Tripped over my shoelaces. So my grand plan is to write the book. Have been realized. The book is written. It's a miracle.
I'm Laura.
Hi, Laura.
And I just wanted to share a little of recent WA World Service history from the last 3 years when I came into it, because tonight really is a miracle, and I just want to share that, and a little background on it, because I was talking about this with some people at dinner, and I think it's very powerful to reach out. It's so exciting to sit in a room and hear everybody say where they're from, and it's all over the country. I'm like, wow, there's a meeting there, and a member of the fellowship there who made it here. That's so, that helped me. So you didn't know it, but you're all here to help me. I need this, and that's why I got into World Service. But how it started is that in the Bay Area, there were two or three meetings, I think, a few years ago in San Francisco, Oakland, and Palo Alto, and the San Francisco meeting decided to host an afternoon and invite all the other meetings around. Maybe there was one in Marin back then, and we ended up with 25 workaholics in a room, which was a miracle considering at our meeting there was usually three or four of us. And that encouraged us. We did that again, and then the number of us who had been at those afternoon WA little half-day retreats ended up on World Service because we got inspired and we got solicited by Ken. And when the group that started, that made up the board 3 years ago started, one of our first things that we put out that we really wanted to do was to make a book, a big book. And so I just want to say this is the fruit of a lot of hard work, and I think it's going to be amazing for the fellowship. I think it's just so awesome, and my honor and respect to everyone who worked on it. It's wonderful. Hi, I'm Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi,
Terry.
Did you say where we're from this time?
No.
Okay. When I saw it this evening, I just had this sense of how wonderful it will be when this book is available, whether it's in our local independent bookstores or on the big Amazon, for people who are looking for something and haven't found anything, and how having a book, particularly with the title that it has, is going to be is such a gift around the world. In fact, for those who aren't aware, 2 years ago there were two fellows who came from Germany because they were so eager to find somebody else, and so we know that they exist out there. And, I just think it's a wonderful thing.
Hey, my name is Walt. I'm recovering from work out of Denver.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, now what I say. doesn't that go through each and every one of them? I wanted to kind of tag on though what Don was saying. I Donna's service got me into WA. She spread the literature around St. Pete and found its way in my front of my face. And I just thought those tools were fabulous. And I said, well, I'm not really a workaholic, but those tools are really good. Because I had this idea of what a workaholic was, and all these different things happened. I got a speeding ticket and all these crazy things happened. And I thought, oh, how did I get into that meeting? So I started going to her meeting, and she would go to these conventions, and she'd come back and tell me a little bit about them. And I just thought the concept of WA was fabulous, and, you know, cutting edge. And I saw it everywhere, you know, and the only thing I saw in all of my family members, and I got 7 people in my family, I mean, I saw it in all of them, in to one degree or another. And so I would kind of quiz Donna a little bit about the convention. I said, well, how many people were there? And she said, oh, you know, like 10, 12. 10 or 12? This thing is huge. This is a monster. This is all over. What do you mean there's 10 or 12? What's happening? Is there a big, well, what, you know, what about literature? Well, there's a third pamphlet. What about a third pamphlet? What, do you got writer's block? What is this? Hello? This thing is big, you know, something. So then I called the number on the back of the pamphlet and ended up talking to Dan Barber G, and I think Dan G is one of the founders in the eastern half of the country. And I asked him about a big book, and he said, I thought you were working on a big book. He said, oh, no. And I said, well, you know, is anybody, what's happening? Oh, I said, that's a lot of work. I thought, well, I guess I can't argue with you there. And yet, I feel the need. So, I'm thrilled it's a big book. And, I'm really grateful. I'm going to put a plug in for service because, you know, it just, I don't know how long I would have gone without knowing about it. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, it really helped me to find it when I did. And so, service is a big deal, you know. Showing up, yeah, but I'm, and that's part of it. But you know, putting the book out in service, you know, just showing up and having literature and being open that somebody else might need to know about it without pressure. That's service to me. So thanks, glad to be here.
4. And I said, we need to do something to get more people in the meeting. So various of us were computer savvy, so we said, well, why don't we advertise it on the web to get more people to come? And I said, okay, I'll put it on the web. And I said, well, if I'm going to put it on the web, I might as well put as many, allow people to put as many meetings as they can on the web. And I did this on my own. I mean, I did not do this officially through the organization, because, you know, at that time on the internet, it was around, I don't know, 96, 95, 96, people just put on whatever, you know, it was like a guerrilla thing. You did it from the bottom up. If you felt like doing something, you just did it. So I wasn't. And to get approval to do, I mean, I didn't even think to go through channels, so I just put it up. And I solicited whatever meetings wanted to advertise on this website. Oh, and I put the pamphlet up without copyright or anything. You know, and I put at the very top, it's for spreading the message. You know, the only purpose of putting this on is for spreading the message and going to this tradition. So I got people that had booths to send me their information and put it on the web. And I got up to about 30 meetings that were that wanted to be on the web with contacts if they wanted to have contacts. And then, you know, I started getting all kinds of messages like, oh, I'm so alcoholic. You know, people that wanted direct connection. And I had to limit what I did because, you know, already I'd bitten off more than I could chew. You know, I just wanted our meeting to get bigger. And we did get a few people that came into our meeting through the website. So we were overjoyed. So I couldn't handle the person-to-person, you know, hand-holding, trying to, you know, like direct 12-step work. It wasn't what I was signing up to do. I didn't have the time. So I thought, well, you know, World Service should do this, you know. It took maybe 5 years to get World Service to adopt it. Or for it to be officially voted that they wanted to, you know, I wasn't willing to hand over everything. You can have everything, you run it, you know, do it your way. I've had enough of doing this. You know, I couldn't do it. I was getting worse off. I'd go through binges, you know, I'd go through, going through the mail, all mail, and replying as much as I can. And then I'd avoid it for months because I couldn't handle it. I did it with politics, you know. So finally, with enough coaxing, and most of the people in World Service that were interested in taking me on didn't even understand what had to be done, or what the various aspects of it were. So it was a real challenge, but, you know, it's a miracle for me that it finally got taken up by World Service, and that somebody volunteered to be the first official webmaster, because I was the unofficial webmaster. And the first official webmaster was David Kay in Denver. Bold. Well, Colorado. And I never met him. He never came to the conference. I never met him, but I talked him over the phone to transfer things over. And then last year we got, and I also offloaded the chat, the bulletin board. No, what's it called?
It's covering workaholics.
Recovering workaholics, but there's a generic term for it.
A bulletin board.
Listen.
Yeah.
Whatever
you want to call it.
There's a term, and I'm blocking on it right now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I offloaded it to Alice, and she took it on last year, and we got the second official webmaster last year, which was Peter. And it was like,
you know, doing all that was like, I had a lot of growing pains. It was like having a baby with all the, you know, with all the difficulty and the pain and all that. But then when it actually was off the ground and behaving by itself, there was no crowd. And I was so happy to not be in charge anymore. And I'm really grateful that people have taken it on. And that the work of it has been divided so that not one person is doing all the tasks that have to do with the work. It's a BBS, but I forgot what it stands for.
I'm Peter, still recovering workaholic. I could add one point to this, and that is that recently we've had an upgrade of the appearance of the website, and Marna has been the general author of that new appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks, Marna.
Hi, I'm Mary, and I'm a workaholic.
Hi, Mary.
I'm nervous about buying it before I leave, otherwise I'll be up all night reading it, because I'm so thrilled that it's here. But I want to say thank you that it's a little book, because to me this is a travel guide. We all call it the big book, but I'm just so grateful that I've been reading and carrying the draft for so long now. And I've actually taken pieces of it to, you know, have it as a travel. But my hope for the book is that the recovery goes beyond us to stop it at the younger level. You know, because I think the best part about being in the program is when I have somebody helping me out in any project or anything, I'm the one that can say, we gotta break the lunch. You know, we have to stop now. It's perfect the way it is. You know, those things are coming out of me, and I can only say that I'm grateful to this program for it. So now when I flip, which I, you know, we're either moving towards or away from recovery every day, we're not stagnant, that, you know, I can look to this book to help me do that. So thank you guys for coming out today. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marion.
I'm Sandy, workaholic.
Hi, Sandy.
I wanted to say that this has been a promise to me all my life. This has been a promise to me when I was a child. It's still a problem. And the only hope that I've ever found for any sort of change is here. You know, if we say workaholic, some respect time, and that's been probably the biggest issue of my life. I just turned 60, and I'm still learning how to tell time. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery. And so my only hope is to come to the meeting and to read the book, and I feel so grateful for the people who put it all together. When I was helping to facilitate a long time ago, I was the person who did the telephone thing. Woman called up from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and she goes, "Haven't you got a book yet?" I'm sorry I had to give that service up, but when we were meeting at the Mercy Center, we had a woman from Recovering Couples Anonymous helping us to plan that first day retreat that we had at the Mercy Center. And she said, once you have a book, the program will grow exponentially. And I say this only because tonight at the table we were talking about, it was so much work being a facilitator, answering the telephone calls, and then I had another person who did the letter. That's at the World Service level, but you will also have it at your own meetings now that we have a book. Mm-hmm. You know, be prepared. People are hungry for this material. And she said it will grow exponentially. I believe it. I believe it. Because they were hungry for it before. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, they were hungry for it.
We're getting close to the world tomorrow.
I'm Alice Dumbledore calling.
Hi.
And when I first became interested, well, the second time I was interested in WA, I was living overseas. First time I was interested in WA, I ordered the literature, said, oh, the meeting's too far away and it's too early in the day and evening, and how do they expect me to get there at 5-6? The second time, I was desperate. There weren't many 12-step meetings at all in the area I was in. I was searching on the internet and found a group that Sonia founded, and that was my source of support for about a year. Wrote a lot of desperate messages on there. And I've found other desperate people living in a place where there was no meeting. We had just a mailing list at first, and we developed into a chat group over the internet that has technical problems. And we're blaming Yahoo. Now we're looking at, or we've been going for about 2 months on the telephone meeting, which is a little bit less technically requiring or demanding than a internet chat thing. And we've gotten so many people on this list that have no meeting, are in remote areas, are desperate, even people around the world. And I really hope that having a book will make it easier for these isolated people to find a meeting.
Thank you.
Just like to say a word that I haven't heard tonight.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Harry.
I'm here almost as it just don't feel to me like a labor of love. And I feel. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
And in the spirit of that, Marlon has something she wants to do.
There is a, for me, when I look at the book and it seems like it's got this kind of golden swirl thing, and I remember when we were trying to figure out images of what to go on the cover, and people had all kinds of creative ideas, and there's something about time, so maybe a sundial, or then maybe kind of, so that's what the little stars are on the part of the swirl, the part of the sundial, but then something about kind of like a novelist shell, I don't know, all these different things. And when I look at the image now, it seems to be radiant. You know, it seems like it's glowing. And I just, the World Service wanted to thank and recognize one of the people who was willing to be a conduit for that kind of glow that's being out. Being out of this book and out from the fellowship now. And so we wanted to give Annie a trip to the spa for the gratitude, thanking her for her.
I wanted to have a like that. Because there's so many people, which you did a huge amount of work. So we have a lot to be grateful to the community. I'd actually like the community, if several of you here today, and one person who isn't, Carl, so Carl, and he just said in design.
Yeah.
So, and for a while, Laura was, and Marna, this is Steve Bryan here, and I am a new member who's doing the fulfillment of the book.
Yeah. So. And Harry and Dan helped with editing.
Yeah, we actually, editors are, there's lots of editors who are not in this room that are all over our fellowship that just sat. And so I just want to thank all these people that work so hard. And also, the thing about a committee, just one quick thing, we met once a month. It's so wonderful to have people there to support the whole thing. So, you know, just if you get in a committee and, you know, you have no idea sometimes how just your presence helps everybody else keep on going. So, thank you. Thank you.